we were talking about how to teach this course. What exactly we'll be trying to do. So different ideas came up. we could have taken, and this is how it was supposed to be in the beginning, a certain area in Haloche. Somebody suggested Hilchos Kriyas HaTorah, right? It's something that comes up very often, questions. So we would have to go through the Halochas, go through the details of the Halocha, and come up with the different shilas that constantly a rabbi is approached with. But I decided it would be unfair to you to do it this way. First of all, we are going to be meeting once every 3 weeks. So how much halacha can we actually go through? And besides the point, let me just tell you, there are three types of questions, of shyness, depending on how to approach the shyness. There is such a thing as chochmo bino vodos, right? What's chochmo? Chochmo means information, right? You teach a child, 2 and 2 is 4, that's chochmo, is acquired a new piece of information. What's bino? Bino is when he's able to derive one thing from another, which means you don't tell him how much 3 and 3 is, you tell him, now that you know how much 2 and 2 is, how much is 3 and 3, if he's able to figure it out, he's using the capacity of bino, dovor mitoyer dovor, right? Bino, related to the idea of binyan, he's able to build on his own. But then there is a third area called da'as. In arithmetic, there is no da'as. There is only chochmo, and there is bino. Da'as exists when there are opposing svoris. We could say this way, we could say another way. And I have to give a certain value to both sides, and I have to weigh. Da'as is attached to weighing something. A scale is the symbol of das, right? Meaning the surgeon may have all the information he has, all the possibilities. Should I operate or shouldn't I operate? But then he has to make a decision. What's more valuable? The possibility that he may save his life, but he's putting the life in danger. Without the operation, he may even live longer. So he has to make a decision. He has to put on the scale all the values that he has and make a decision. So in halacha, there are questions that can be answered with chokhmah. Chokhmah just means information. Information, which means they ask you, sfira, right? Are you allowed to make a wedding in sfira? You know, it says in the Shulchan Aruch. That's chokhmah. You have the information. Somebody fed you or you yourself read the information. Then there is simple bino. Bino, which means something that in the Shulchan Aruch it doesn't say, because it doesn't have to say. You figure it out on your own. Like somebody asks you today, well, today you are allowed to shave, right? Because Lag BaOmer comes out on Sunday, so today you are allowed to shave. Well, so if you're allowed to shave, you're allowed to listen to music, right? Of course, wrong, right? Because that is a lack of bino. The reason you're allowed to shave today is because if you don't shave today and you're going to shave Lag BaOmer, which is going to be on Sunday, it's going to be like an insult, a zilzel on the Shabbos. So the way that we're misaken is that since Shabbos is kosher, so you have to shave today for Shabbos, because anyway Lag BaOmer you're allowed to shave. But what does that have to do with something that has nothing to do with preparing for Shabbos? Right? Meaning you don't have to listen to music to prepare for Shabbos. So obviously music has nothing to do with the halacha of shaving. Now, let's say it doesn't say that in the Shulchan Aruch on the halacha that we saw, but pure bino can tell you that. But the most complicated shailas are those shailas that have to do with da'as, which means there's a possibility this way and there's a possibility this way, and you have to make a decision. Those are the most complicated shailas. The shailas, the questions that require da'as, deyo. So, I was thinking, for those shailas that you require chokhmah, it's silly that we should give a shiur in that. I mean, you go through the Shulchan Aruch, of course, it's your obligation. You're going to go into a community. Questions will come up. 80% of the questions will be answered through pure information. Right? You'll know exactly, it says in the Shulchan Aruch, and this is the Halacha. Bina requires a methodology. Methodology. Which means through analyzing the method used by different Shailos u'Tshuvos for it, even if we can compete with them, but a certain approach, a certain methodology develops, you intuitively will realize how to approach a question. The questions of Das, I would say, leave alone. That's not for us. I mean, unless somebody is a bar hochi, is it at the level to really be able to weigh, he shouldn't get into questions that require Das. Which means like this. For the Das question, ask Rav Eliashiv, ask Rav Shlomo Zalman Neuerbach, which means, if it's, you can say this way, you can say this way, it's a matter of weighing, those are the most complicated questions, and those are the questions that you need Da'as Torah. That's what Da'as is all about, which means not Bina's Torah, because for Bina's Torah, we can develop the skill for Bina's Torah. For Chochmas HaTorah, we have the Shulchan Aruch. For Da'as Torah, that's something that really should be left to these people who have Da'as Torah. It's interesting, you know, that when the Rambam says, you know, the Rambam makes Psak Halacha seem so easy, that we are shocked. How come it's so difficult when the Rambam seems to put it in such a way that it's so easy? Listen to this. The Rambam says, Hilchos Mamrim. That's how I wanted the Hilchos Mamrim in the Rambam. The Rambam differentiates between three types of halochas. First of all, he says, there is a Rambam here, the last chelik? Good. Shkoyach, thanks. In Hilchos Mamrim, he differentiates between the three types of halachas, he says. First of all, he says, there are halachas that are mekubal, mesinai, and on those halachas, there are no arguments. That's it. I mean, the tefillin are supposed to be black. So if anyone will come up and say, you know, let's be modern, let's make them pink, you know, it's out of the question. We don't make tefillin pink. It's halacha l'moshe misina. Hilchos Mamrim, right in the beginning, first chapter of Hilchos Mamrim. Divrei Kabole, that's called Divrei Kabole, em bohen machloikes le'oilom. Vechol dovo shetim tzoboi machloikes beodua she'eino kabole mimoyshe rabbeinu. Whenever you find a machloikes, you know that can't possibly be a kabole. Next was the next level, something that he used methodology. Right? Again, the same differentiation. Something that Botei Dinim used the methodology of Torah. In other words, that Yud Gimel Midosh HaTorah Nidreshes Bohem. That's called Dvorim, the Rambam calls it Shelemeidim Min Hadin. Min Hadin means the rules of how to derive halachas. Now, Im Hiskimo Aleihem Bezin HaGodol, you vote and you follow the majority. Now, then there is a third type, and the third type is the type that's called Gzeiros Vetakonos Shein Higu Klal Yisrael. Gzeiros Vetakonos, which means it's not something that we derived with any methodology at all. We didn't need any methodology. We decided, Klal Yisrael decided that on Sfira, you don't take a haircut. That's Klal Yisrael decided. It's almost impossible to find. Some people say yes, it was decided b'minyan, meaning there was a business that decided. But the chances are that Sfira just developed. Klal Yisrael just accepted it. Those are Gzeiros, Takonos, Minhogim, Shenhigu, Klal Yisrael. Now, what is the difference? It says like this. In the first category of the Kabbalah, nobody can argue. Like I told you, the Kabbalah, you are Mekabel, we do understand it, we don't understand that this is it, we are Mekabel.
In the second category, things that we learn out from our Svara, the Rambam says that is completely dependent on the posek that there is in this generation. Shenemar el ashofet asher iyeh bayomim oein. Ein cho chayev lo leches elo achar bezen shebedoyrecho. Right? In other words, even if it's a bezen that considers itself much smaller, a much lesser bezen qualitatively than the bezen who decided something, says the Rambam, you don't have to follow somebody else's psak. You don't have to follow somebody else's psak. Asks the Kesef Mishneh. So if so, right here on the spot, the Kesef Mishneh, Ilchos Mamre, in the beginning of the second parak already, says the Kesef Mishneh. He says, I don't understand, according to the Rambam, why do we find such a tremendous hakpodeh on Amoiroim that they won't argue on Tanoim? Why? If you're saying that on things that are tolui bisvore, you are allowed to argue on anyone, even if he's greater than you, because this is using the methodology of Torah. And the methodology of Torah is given to every generation. So why can't a Tane argue, an Amora argue on a Tane, right? We're not talking about a Kabbalah. Or why don't Rishonim argue on Amoroi? Why not? So, says the Kesef Mishneh, Venireli, from the day that the Mishneh was, he's talking about Amoroim, not arguing with Tanoim. Kimu ve kiblu, shedoyros achroinim lo yachloi kol arishoinim. Meaning, it was like a kabbalah of Klal Yisrael not to do it. It was like a kabbalah of Klal Yisrael. What is the nature of this kabbalah? The Kesef Mishneh doesn't say, and what is the strength? What is the basis for such a kabbalah? Is there such a koyach in Klal Yisrael to say no? Against Tanoim, we don't argue. If it's built in that you are allowed to argue, right? Why not? So depends. So it's interesting. It's interesting that he uses the words kimu vekiblu. The Kesef Mishneh uses the word kimu vekiblu. Now the words kimu vekiblu, of course, is a transfer of the Megillah. And the interesting thing is that in the Megillah there is a question, really. Kimu vekiblu ayudin aleihem valzarom velo yavor, which means you can't be mevatel purim. The question is, what koyach did the Jews in that generation have to establish a new halacha? What koyach? Why can't we decide that we don't want purim anymore? Why not? So the Malbim on the spot says this is pshat in the following. You see, in reality, it says like this. I didn't tell you the third category. What is? Can we change the third category? Lemoshul. Shlomo bezdino shel Shlomo was mesaken netilas yodaim. Right? We will decide we don't need netilas yodaim anymore. We don't need it. People are cleaner today, so therefore they don't need Netilas Yodayim. Right? Let's say, can we change it? Says the Rambam, yes, you could, but with one condition, that you are greater bechokhmo, that we are greater qualitatively bechokhmo, uve minyan, quantitatively. What does it mean quantitatively? So the Meforshim say it means the chachmei hador. How many chachomim are there in this generation? If we say that we are greater than Beis Dinoi Shel Shlomo HaMelech, we could do it. Right? But again, in the second category, you don't have to be greater. You hear? In the second category of something that you derive al pisvore, not atakone, something that you derive al pisvore, you can change it. But the question is, the Jews in the time of the Megillah, what right do they have to be mekabel al zamor velo yavor? You can't uproot Purim. How do they know for sure that in 100 years from then a new Beis Din won't come up that is greater than themselves? You hear the question? How can the people, Mordechai, decide, and the people of the Anshei Knesset Sagdoilo decide Purim will never be uprooted when they never know how great the new generation is going to be? Right? So the Malbim says that if you take a look at the Megillah answers the question. Why? Because in the Megillah itself it says, there is a very funny statement over there. All of a sudden, in the middle of Megillah, it tells you about Yom Hatzoimois Vezakosom, Tisha B'Av, Shivosor Betamus. What does Tisha B'Av and Shivosor Betamus have to do with Purim? So says the Malbim, that's exactly the pshat. The Megillah wanted to answer the koyach that the Chachomim had to make such a decision. Their koyach was mekoyach neder. What is the koyach? The Tisha B'Av. Right, that the Chachomim decided we have to keep Tisha B'Av so we can change it. How can they memkabel? For us, the answer is there is such a thing as Klal Yisrael accepting a neder for all Klal Yisrael for all times. So he says, since you can make a neder in a negative way, we are not allowed to eat, so you can also make a neder for Purim. That's what the Malbim says. And that's how he learns Pshat in the Psukim. That the Kabbalah of Purim is Mekoyach Neder. Which is extremely, extremely difficult. Because, I mean, can we really say that's the essence of Purim is based on Neder? I mean, it's possible, but you can't bring a raya from the Tzoymos. Tzoymos is a negative thing. You are not going to eat. Between that and saying that you have to give shalachmones and you have to read the Megillah, that you also call it a neder. So there is such a concept of neder lidvar mitzvah. No, okay, so if you stretch a little bit the yesoid of the Malbim, okay, we can follow. But really, Pshat is different over there. Pshat is what the Kesef Mishneh says. That the idea is that in every generation, the reason why we are allowed to argue on a Beis Din that decided something based on their svore, it is because the Beis Din themselves once, right, like the Gemara says in Chulin, Mokoim hinichuli avoisai lizgader bohem, which means every generation leaves room for a new generation to come up with something new. So, therefore, it would have closed the door for the koyach hachidush if a Beis Din would decide, you know, it's forever. We decide this way and nobody can change it forever. So it's natural to assume that the Beis Din who decided it wanted to leave room. Mokoim hanichu liavoisai lizgaderbom, says the Gemara. That there is such a concept that we can assume that a Beis Din didn't mean to close the door to changes in chidushim. This is pshat. That means that is something that we assume. What about if we know for sure that they said, in this I don't want you to change? Let's say they said it, right? This is so important to us. That I know that maybe next generation you may come up with a svore against it. I don't want you to use this word. Do they have the power? Of course they have the power. The point is that we assume that they usually don't use the power. Really, that's the answer of the Kesef Mishneh. Kimu vekiblu, in the generation when the Mishneh was closed, kimu vekiblu, they accepted, Klal Yisrael accepted, or the Botei Dinim accepted, never to argue on Tanoim. Even if you have another svara, you can never argue. What does it mean, Kimu Vekiblu? They decided that from this point on, we don't want you to change any halachas that are based on svara. Do you follow what I'm saying? That's what the Kesef Mishneh means. Which means it's not koyach haneder. That's the koyach of Beis Din. Which means that which the Rambam says, that the new Beis Din has a right to argue on the old Beis Din. That's on something that the old Beis Din didn't close the door. But if they close the door, like the Kesef Mishneh says, Kimu Vekiblu, we have no right to argue. And it's very interesting that the Kesef Mishneh uses the words Kimu Vekiblu, which gives you an insight that that's the way he learned Pshat in Purim. Which means, what is the power for the people in the generation of Purim? To say Velo Yavor, nobody has a right to even if they have a new svore, right? They have a svore, we don't have to keep Purim anymore. They won't be able to do it. You know why not? Because Kimu Vekiblu, because Beis Din does have such a right. Okay? Beis Din does have such a right, which means like this. The way, for instance, we have there was a question in New York, in Manhattan, for instance. Can we have an Eruv in Manhattan, or can't we have an Eruv in Manhattan? That was an old question. It's already from last century already. One of the first rabbi of New York already dealt with the question whether Manhattan is a Rishus or Rabim Deraisa or is not a Rishus or Rabim Deraisa. Right? We need there's a big question whether Manhattan is a Rishus or Rabim Deraisa, because if you have 600,000 people, it becomes a Rishus or Rabim Deraisa. What does it mean? Does it mean that 600,000 people live there? Then for sure it is a Rishus or Rabim Deraisa. And if you have a Rishus or Rabim Deraisa, you can't use the Tzuras HaPesach as an Eruv. So what do you do? But 600,000 people don't go on one street at one time, so maybe it's not a Rishus or Rabim Deraisa. That was the question. So Ramush has a tshuva on that, and he says, out of the question, can't make an Eruv of Manhattan, right? Question is, Ramosh is not here anymore. There are new rabbis. Can a new rabbi get up and say, you know what, Ramosh is not here anymore? I use this svara that tells me that Manhattan is not a Rishus Rabim Deraisa. It's only the Rabbonon, so therefore I could use Tzuras HaPesach, right? Theoretically, you could. Ramosh is not here anymore. Fine, Ramosh said no. But there is no question about it that Ramosh meant it, right, as a psak that it should stay, which means like this. He realized that there will be a tremendous pressure, right, to make an Eruv in Manhattan. Right? There is a tremendous pressure, yes, to make it. There are many people that are, they are makel anyway, so you might as well save it. So he decided this is it. No Eruv in Manhattan, no matter what. So he was extremely strict in that psak, not to try to make an Eruv in Manhattan. So it's very possible, I'm not saying that's the way it was, I'm just giving it as an example, that Reb Moshe will say a psak. Even if now Reb Moshe is not here anymore, you can't change it, because it's begeder kimu vekiblu, meaning there is such a geder as kimu vekiblu. This is the way it is, don't try to change it. You're going to come to a new community, right? Let me just apply it, right? You're going to come to a new community. The new community does such and such. And you say, oh, how silly. I mean, you can easily be makel, right? You're going to come to a new community. Let's say the community you are going into has a certain minig. That's the way they do things, right? Of course, I'm talking about a certain chumre, a certain something that they do that they don't really have to do, right? Like, for instance, you're going to come to a community that when they read the parsha on Shabbos, they don't add to the seven aliyahs. Let's say, right? It's very fast. You're going to come to such a community. They never added to the seven aliyahs. That was their custom. And you say, oh, how silly. Look, there are so many people today. It's a bar mitzvah. After all, I mean, why not add? You're allowed to alpi aloch. Of course there are machmirim that say, yesh chashash broche levatole, because you're saying more broches than necessary. But look, all the poskim, almost, I mean, the great majority, ruboy kekulom are matir, they say, definitely bishas adchak. Okay? Now, you have to be extremely careful, which means, it's not enough to say, yes, you're allowed to. You have to analyze the source of the minhag. Where does it come from? If that is a minhag that has a basis, don't change it. Unless you know for sure that in the beginning it wasn't set up as something very strict. But if it was set up as something strict, don't change it. You are not allowed to change it. Why? Because that's called already, we're going to see, if we have the chance here in the sefer that I brought, a very interesting sefer, it says there is such a thing as minhag votikin, which means that's the way it was in Nohuk. Don't change it. Even though, do you have a right to change it? Well, theoretically, yes. My svara tells me that bishas adchak, you can add aliyahs. Why not? You can add. There's nowhere that it really says as far as the consensus of the poskim are concerned. Why shouldn't you add aliyahs? They all tell you that b'di'eved it's mutter. Some people say even lechatchil it's mutter. But in a bar mitzvah, when there are so many guests, it's a matzav of b'di'eved. If that's the way they were nohuk, don't change it. That's a klal. Yeah.
I want to try to understand clearly what the point that you're making. I understand that in the context of Kesef Mishnah, where we're speaking about principles of learning that are part and parcel of our whole approach, that an Amora doesn't argue on a Tana, etc. But in terms of practice, for example, I remember reading myself one of the famous Takanas that were instituted by the leaders of the old Yeshua here in Yerushalayim regarding, I think this was the Rechol, or teaching things to women, or one of the many Takanas which are familiar to people who have been in Yerushalayim for a while. And everyone knows that, except for a certain minority of the Haredi community, those takanas have been abrogated. And I want to say clearly that they wrote in the lashon of takana, no base in the future has the right to abrogate this. This is la'ol me'at. This is shmos alam. This is the rabbi shem yishalayim. No one can say otherwise.
That's you are strengthening what I'm saying. The lemaisa, you find it very often in a takones that they make, or even if it's not takones, right? It's a psak halacha. Not that they decided that's the way it should be from now on. They decided that's the right way, right? So they sometimes add, no one is allowed to change it because we predict. They don't have to say that, but of course that's we understand that's what they meant. We predict there will be tremendous pressure to change it. You should know we accepted kimu v'kiblu v'lo yavor, right? So the truth of the matter is, if the development of the community in Yerushalayim would have been only a development of the original issue, then that's all, there would be no right to have any other minhag, right? If that's the way it would have developed. Historically, that's not the way it developed. They remained one community, and parallel communities came into Yerushalayim at the same time. The moment there are parallel communities, then their psokim, right, only apply to their community, however you define the parameters of that community. The reason why, right, we don't follow those takones is because we don't belong to their kehile, that's all. You understand what I'm saying? That's just the opposite. But if we would belong to their kehile, we would be bound by them 100%, even though somebody can say today, so what? Reb Shmuel Salanter said one way, I say differently. I don't have to be as great as Reb Shmuel Salanter, right, as we say. I don't have to be as great as Reb Shmuel Salanter to argue with him, right? As long as I use Torah methodology, I have a right to argue with Reb Shmuel Salanter. Just the opposite. Right? Now, they expected, Reb Shmuel Salanter expected, that the Yishuv will grow from this seed Yishuv, right? And they will become the one Yishuv in Yerushalayim, let's say. So that's why he said it. Obviously, they have no power over a community that is not part of that Kehile, right? Fine. I mean, then it's a question, how can you set up a parallel Kehile? That is a problem of Loisis Goydedu. How can you set up in one city a parallel kehile? And that is a problem. That's a problem. It's a problem not only in Yerushalayim. In every kehile that there were two, right? You know that in Dvinsk, in Europe, where the Or Sameach was Rov, right? What? There were two. There was a Misnagdishe kehile and there was a Hasidishe kehile. How were they allowed to do it? So they said, nobody did it. They claimed. It's on its own. There were Hasidim there and there were Misnagdim there. That makes two kehiles. Nobody set it up. That was their answer. Their answer was that nobody set up a parallel kehile. It was set up automatically by the fact that there were Hasidim living there. Whether we accept that approach or not, but that was the rationale. That was the justification of making two kehiles. That we don't make it, it's there. Then there is another thing. There is a reach for another Rishonim that have like an opening to Loisis Goydedu that became the justification of many machlokes. And really, there is a Ritva said it in others that when I remember what was Noigel and Maise, I remember in yeshiva, and we were in yeshiva, some people worked Chilul Chol HaMoed and some people didn't. As a matter of fact, among the Rosh Yeshiva, I remember the Rosh Yeshiva didn't work Chilul Chol HaMoed and the Mashgiach worked Chilul Chol HaMoed. Right? And that's a big problem. I mean, how can you daven in the same minyan? That's an actual loisis goydedu, right? That two minhoge, two pisky aloche. Right? How can you have some people yes davening with tefillin and some not? So I remember, so that when they have the Rosh Hashanah, so he said that's the, we rely on the ritva, and the ritva says when it's accepted that there should be two minhogim, then there is no loisis goydedu. Loisis goydedu means when it's accepted one minhag and you come to uproot the minhag, then it's a loisis goydedu. But when I recognize that you do this way and you recognize that I do another way, then it's not called loisis goydedu. So of course that it leaves an opening for anything you want, right? But anyway, but like everything else in halacha, you can abuse halacha very, very easily. And of course that's one of the important subjects in halacha, the abuse of a svoris.
אומר שאם אותם רבנים שעשו את התקנה יהודים שהנוער היום נניח לא יגיע לבית כנסת, אז הם היו בעצמם משנים את התקנה. זאת אומרת, יש גורם לבטל את התקנה?
100%. Yes. You can definitely say that those people that originally set up the takone, right, that's the way they were noyeg, because they were machmir, right? It's only because it was a small community, and there were never any bar mitzvahs and any guests coming from out of town. Therefore, they never bothered adding to the shivo kruim. But had they known, and that you constantly have in tshuvas, that those that were mesaken the minhag, had they known that the situation would have been such and such, there is no question that they would have done it. Right? It's like a consistent svor. Therefore, I have a right to do it because that was part of the original takone also, even though they never spoke it out. But what about if the community today is as big as it was then, and they still did it? Then you can't have that opening anymore. Right? So it's very important to know how strict the original takone was. Right? How strict it was. What were the parameters? What were the limits of the original takone? If you're coming to be a big shot and be a maker, it's not so easy. There is a tremendous respect for kimu v'kiblu, and kimu v'kiblu is not only on a klal Yisrael level. There is a kimu v'kiblu on a local level. Now, going on with the Rambam says like this. What do we do today that we don't have the Beis Nagodol? Mishabot al Beis Nagodol. Rov so machloikes bisra. Automatically there were machloikes. And I say this way and you say this way. Zemetame venoisem tam lidvoro. Vezemetame venoisem tam lidvoro. Rambam adds venoisem tam lidvoro. Because if you are metame loinoisem tam lidvoro, I, the objective person, I don't have to listen to you. But if you noisem tam lidvoro, and he knows it, what do I, right, do? So there is a rule, he says, and that's why I'm told you the easiness with which the Rambam approaches halacha. Shnei chachomim or shnei botenidim shenechleku sheloi bizmanach Sanhedrin oy ad sheloi oy adover borulohem, or they can come to a decision. They say, well, can do this way, can do this way. You know, many times you come to a poisek, he says, well, what can I tell you? No. You know, I mean, like, are you allowed to, you ask a poisek, are you allowed to listen to sad music on a sphere, right? So, the answer will always be, no, listen, that's the way it is. We don't listen to music. I mean, he won't tell you it's osir, because obviously the original kimu v'kiblu was mechoilois, right? But Klal Yisrael did develop like a minhag, like you just don't listen to music, loy plug. But is that part of the original takone? Isn't it part of the original takone? So we, just out of respect of the development of that minhag, of this hanhoge, we can't even call it minhag, this hanhoge, so I can't tell you yes to do it. But is it also? How can I tell it's also? Right? So what do you do? So it's like this. Bein bizman echod, bein bezeh achar zeh. It doesn't matter whether the argument is all in one generation or in different generations. Echod metar vechod metame vechod loisev vechod matir. Now, I'm going to read you the words of the Rambam, which I think are crucial. On the surface, you just read it through and skip it, but I think it's crucial, and take a look what he says. Im ein choyoideya leheichon hadin noite, im ein choyoideya leheichon hadin noite, Bishel Torah, if it's a question in the Torah, you go after the Machmir, Hoylech Achar Machmir. Bishel Soifrim, if it's the Rabbonon, Hoylech Achar Meiko. Look how easy the Rambam's approach is. Do you have a question? Right? Very nice. I mean, it's a question. We don't know exactly. The Moger Avrom says yes. The Taz says no. Reb Moshe says yes. Reb Shlomo Zalman says no. Well, easy. Medin Torah. Is it a Din Torah? Can you transgress a biblical commandment? Don't do it. Is it only a possibility of transgressing a rabbinical commandment? Do it. So easy. Right? Problem is like this. We skipped the most important part of the Rambam. You know, we didn't skip it, but I'm telling you, we didn't pay attention. Im eincho yoideya leheichon adin noite. That you can only do. Im heich einom yoideya. Well, if you don't have da'as yoideya, heichon adin noite. The word noite. What's das noite? The Gemara in Sanhedrin talks about das noite. Pshat is like this. My first obligation is to develop a netiyas hadas. What does it mean, a netiyas hadas? How do I develop such a netiyas hadas? So there is no question about it. I have all the information in front of me. Reb Moshe paskened a certain way, and Rav Eliashiv paskened a certain way, and I know where he based his halacha and where he based halacha. The tshuvas are in front of me. What do? I have to come up in a local question to a psak halacha. What do I do? Yes or no? Right? That's a question. So I'll say like this, right? You have a question of mechitzes. Mechitzes in Beis HaKnesses. Mechitzes in Beis HaKnesses. Now, are we talking about transgressing a biblical law? Let's say you're going to have a mechitze that's lower than, what does Ramosha say? Five feet. 5 feet, Ramosha says. Yus chesfochim. 5 feet, right? Now, let's say Reb Moshe is right and I'm davening in a shul with 17 tfochim. What am I transgressing? Well, I mean, it's hard to define what I'm really transgressing. Am I transgressing a biblical law? Is there a din toiret that you're mechuyev to have a mechitze? Well, maybe if we learn it out from Binyan Beis Hamikdash, right? That's how it was in the Beis Hamikdash, and because that was the Ezra Snoshim, etc., etc. Maybe it is, but not really, right? Not really. That's only a mocker for it, for the idea of a mechitze. So it's not really a biblical transgression. It's a rabbinical transgression. I'm not even sure if it's a rabbinical transgression, but Klal Yisrael set up, that's how you build a Beis HaKnesses. That's part of Hilchos Beis HaKnesses. The Klal Yisrael was Mekabel. No, very easy. There are some who say 10 Tfochim, right? There are some, and they bring rayas that all you need is 10 Tfochim, right? So you're going to say, well, why not be Mekel? The Rambam says, if it's not a Din Torah, you have a right to be Mekel. So if so, when it comes to, in your community, they decide to put up a Mechitze, so you'll say, well, 10 tfochim is enough. And you're psalmich on the Rambam. The Rambam says that as long as you don't transgress on a din Torah, you're allowed to do it. What you skipped is the middle part of the Rambam, you see. You have to decide leheichon hadin noite. And leheichon hadin noite is the most difficult process of it all. Leheichon hadin noite means that I have to make a decision not only based on the information. Noite has to do with netiyas hadas, and the best analogy is, how do you choose a doctor? How do you choose a doctor? Let's say you go to a doctor, and the doctor says, you know what, you need an operation. And you go to another doctor, and the doctor says, nah, don't do it, you'll never need it. It's okay, just, you know, take the medicine and it's okay. And I have to make a decision to listen to this doctor or to listen to that doctor, right? What do I do? How do I make a decision? It's an extremely complicated process how I make the decision. What goes into that decision? A lot of things. First of all, who do I trust more? Right? I mean, I can't possibly go through 10 years of university and medical school to make a decision who is right, right? Because meanwhile, I'm sick. I may need an operation. So how do I make the decision which doctor is reliable, right? I need a netio, meaning I can't have a brirus. I can't have a brirus in who is right and who is wrong. For that, I would need too many years of studying. And even then, who knows if I can come up with a decision. I have to make a decision. So I look at his face and I say, well, he looks more trustworthy than this one. My next door neighbor, he also adds to my decision-making process. I have my family doctor. He also, what he says is part of the process of yednoite netias hadas, this process of netias hadas. Until finally, when all the little bits and pieces that create the decision become clarified, and I say, you know what? I'll rely on this doctor. If you analyze how you came to the decision, it's extremely complex, extremely complicated. But you follow that. Meaning, you're not really following your own decision. It's a decision based on netio. That's all. It's netio. Unless you have gone through that netio, you can go to the next step of taking the easy way out of sofek deraisa lechumre, sofek derabonah lekule. You can't use it. You have to decide upon netio, which means like this. You have to decide. There are poskim that say 18 tvochim, right? 5 feet. There are poskim that say 10 tvochim. I have to get to know the poskim that came up with such a decision. How do I get to know them? I spent 5 years with each one of them. I have people I trust, right? What do they say? Same process I do by choosing a doctor. I have to go through for what the Rambam calls Leheichon Hadin Noite. Noite! For this netio, I need all these little pieces that make up a decision. And I say, you know what? Right? If you're honest with yourself, I think you will come up with a decision. You know what? Reb Moshe wasn't a closed-minded Jew, right? He knew the generation he lived in, right? He knew the necessities of the generation. His approach is 100% reliable to me. I see he has an insight into the problems of that I go through. And he says, 18 tfochim. And I go through the tshuve, and I say, yeah, it makes sense. Even though the one who says 10 tfochim also makes sense. He also, in halachim, makes sense. But I would say, as a personal experience, I mean, I can definitely hear that you should come up with the exact opposite conclusion. That's not the point I'm making. I'm making that there is a whole process called finding out Leheichon Hadin Noite. That's the key word, Noite. I can tell you for sure, I have to say Noite. And Reb Moshe Feinstein is, it's enough for me to make a Netias Hadas towards his direction. That's just an example. So therefore, the whole easy approach of the Rambam, Sofer deraisa lechumre, derabonah lekule, most questions that you're going to have are probably only the rabbonons or minhogim, can take the easy way out. You have to decide the din noite. Okay, now. Let's go more, yeah.
What if your situation comes out that you know that both poskim, let's say, we have the same type of machlokas, and you know from experience that both are, you know, you could pick either way, you could be very easily somewhat on either one, and it's like they have divergent opinions.
Okay. There is no question that there is a point that we're going to use the last part of the Rambam. There is a point that we're going to say, listen, between Reb Moshe and Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, I can't, there is no noite. Right? That's already a fulfillment of what the Rambam says. I really can't. There you have an absolute right to say, if it's not noigei adin toire, I can take the easy way out. You have a right to say, to take the easy way out. There is nothing wrong with it. I'm just telling you that your obligation first is to din noite. Be careful. Who says it? Who's the doctor that you are relying on? Right? Be very, very careful. You can't just take, well, there is a tshuva that says it. Is there a tshuva that really it's a din noite? Do you have a netias hadas towards that tshuva? Do you know the person? Do you know how reliable it is? Did you check up on it? Did you ask his friends and his colleagues? That's what I mean. Now, coming down more, halacha lemaise. I chose, just for the first class, a sefer. It's called Melamed Lehoil. There's no question about it that this tshuva sefer Melamed Lehoil is a classic. The author of this Melamed Lehoil was someone called Reb David Zvi Hoffman. He was the head of the Beis HaMedrash LaRabbonim in Berlin. There was an institution called Beis HaMedrash LaRabbonim, a rabbinical institute of Berlin. And we already heard what was the situation last century in Germany. And this was a strictly Orthodox institution, right? And he was one of the heads, and eventually became the head of this institution. Godel Adir in every aspect of Torah. And since he lived in such a generation, in a generation with pressures, right, with tremendous problems that are very similar to what we are going through today in our approach to non-Frume Jews, it's interesting to use him when we are searching for a certain pattern, for a certain methodology in the usage of our bino, our understanding, our koyach of deriving one thing for another. But let me just choose certain parts. In his Hagdome, for instance, in his introduction, he says something which I find extremely interesting. It says like this. You know that there are a lot of things, chumres develop. Like we said, the idea of not listening to music on Sfirah, right? Assuming, of course, that you're allowed to listen to music the rest of the year. You know, that itself is not 100% clear, right? After the Churban HaBayis, whether you're allowed to listen to music. But let's say you are allowed to listen to music after the Churban HaBayis. Can you listen to music on Sfirah? How did it develop, that Chumrah, which is an enormous Chumrah? In the original sources, you only find Mecholois, right? Which means music as an expression of happiness. We don't find the idea of music per se being osur. There is nothing intrinsically happy about music. There is sad music, there is happy music. The original sources, we find only music as an expression of happiness. Dances, right? You get together to play the instruments. That is what is the original isur. But how did he develop that any music is osur? So he says like this. Ubaasher shehaposkim hoacharoinim. In the last few generations, he says, ro kol ze. Let me start before. He says there was a development of the pilpul in Klal Yisrael, which means that people started overusing their svoris, to the point that they would build really castles in the air, right? Pilpul. And the sforim that came out, a lot of them were just this sforis. You can say this way, you can answer the question another way. So he says like this. Therefore, aposki macharoinim ro kol ze bein bein. So therefore, because of how developed the idea of pilpul became, the more pilpul became developed, the less the achroinim wanted to rely on their svoris. You hear the paradox. The more pilpul that became developed, you answer everything, just think up of a nice svore, answer the Rambam. Then it becomes that your svore becomes a little bit wild, uncontained. Therefore, if you have to make a psak based on the same svores that you use to say a chabur and answer the Rambam, it becomes a very dangerous tool. Because if you use the same methodology that you use to answer questions in the Gemara, you use the same methodology to pasken a psak halacha, you know what you can do? Anything. Everything becomes mutter. Just think up of a nice svore, and that's it. Therefore, the more the pilpul became developed, the less we rely on this pilpul. You hear the chiddush that he says? Therefore, ubasher shaposki v'achrein ro, when they realize this, loyrotsu lismoy chal svorotsom lehakel, to be makel based on svore, it's impossible. Our svores became so wild, that we can't really rely on the svores. Therefore, if it's lechumre, so you can go too wrong. But lekule chas v'sholem. Val yedei zeh nigvevu chumreis rabois. One chumre led to another because you're going to say a svore. You know what? It's okay to listen to music because after all, it's not mecholois, but it's a svore. That's the same svore that I used to answer a question to of Rabbi Kiva Eiger. And I know, how we use svores to answer Rabbi Kiva Eiger. I mean, you came up with anything in order to answer Rabbi Kiva Eiger, which is fine, as long as you are just sitting in this medrash. But if you are going to pass in a psak aloche according to that svore that you answered Rabbi Kiva Eiger, oy vavoy, I mean, you know what can happen. So therefore, says the Melamed Lohoil, this svores that you use to answer questions of Rabbi Kiva Eiger, don't use for psak aloche. But that's all we can do. I mean, we spent 20 years developing the koyach ha'pilpul. So what should we do? So lekule, don't touch those svores. Lechumre, yes, but not lekule. That's how we develop that we have a mountain of chumres. One chumre led to another. So he says, therefore he says, when you find take a big posek that is really has developed the skills of psak, right? Not the skill of svore, which went wild in the last few generations of Koyach HaPilpul. But when you have a posek, then you can rely on psak. And it's interesting, if you ever go through Reb Moshe's Chidushim, it's not the classical yeshiva, it's not the classical Rosh Yeshiva Chidushim. It's not at all. I mean, if you take a Chidush, a Shir of a Rosh Yeshiva, there's a certain style, you build up 10 questions, a big svore, one answers this question and that question. That's not how Reb Moshe works. Reb Moshe works, I mean, on the surface, I'm like, with simple svores. Like, simple svores, you know, like what we call very often balebatishe svores. Like, you know, this is the way it is, and that's it. And it comes to a psak aloche with that. Like, in a way, we say the svores of Reb Moshe are not terribly sophisticated, just the opposite on the surface. It means very poshut. But that's what makes a posek, this poshet is for us. The reason why we call it poshet is because we became too sophisticated in this forest, like the Melamed Loyal says. We became so sharp to the point of unreliability. Okay? So watch out when your yeshivish esvores try to push you towards a certain direction. It's fine when you are saying a shir. It's very dangerous when you are going to use the psak haloche.
I heard once the rebbe that I once had told us that the psalm sofer said on one occasion, lo chavifin shekev, lo chutim emes.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. It's I've heard it from sources earlier than the. Then the Chassam Sofer Horoiv the Chukim Emes. You know, this voice that seems to it's like dog food. I mean, it's not really sharp, right? Those usually are the voices you can rely upon, right? Usually, right? And usually by poskim you do find it. You do find that that's the way it was. It's interesting. I don't know how reliable this story is, but the way it was told to me that Reb Chaim Soloveitchik refused to pass in halochas most of the times. He would send the questions in aloche to the rabbi of the city. There was a rabbi in the city of Brisk that didn't really, I mean, how can you compare him in the quality of his urine to Reb Chaim? But in psak aloche, Reb Chaim didn't want to pass. Why? I mean, we can speculate. It's very possible that Reb Chaim, who had developed a tremendous sharpness in his approach to Gemara concepts, was afraid, right, that the method used when applied to halacha would be too dangerous. Right? Not, I mean, I'm sure that he really believed that it's Torah semes. I mean, no question about it. If you probably heard how careful he was in those chidushim that he actually printed, right? That his sons printed. He was extremely careful. In other words, from every 100 chidushim, he would allow to print one. That's because only what he thought was 100% Torah semes. But still, he was afraid to use svoris, what we call yeshivish svoris, for psak halochet. Right? Now, yeah.
I think the Maisa that Chaim
Lipov
sent a shaylit to Rav Yitzchak Chanan.
Yeah.
He told him, and the answer you want to give me, I just want you to send me a telegram whether it's also or not, but don't give me any reason.
Exactly. What's behind it? The moment you're going to give me the reasons, I won't be able to accept it. I mean, I have a certain approach, I've developed a certain skill, right? Obviously, Reb Chaim's sharpness, right, in his area was superior in that area of Rabbi Shlomo, was very sharp, but not in the analysis of the concept itself. Reb Chaim was, he'll tell him a tzushtel. I mean, according to me, that's not tzushtel at all. If you tell me psak aloche, fine, I can rely on you, but not the reason. 100%. That's the idea behind. Roiv dechukim memes. That's a roiv dechukim memes. It's already from old sources. Roiv dechukim, because somebody asked him, well, that's a doich. It's a roiv dechukim memes. Those dechukim, when the Gemara says, oh, belav hochi mishani shapir. The Gemara is full of dechukim, right? Why didn't you say this? Oh, belav hochi mishani shapir. That's usually teras emes. That's the 100% the real. You come up with svores, maybe this, maybe that. That's a suffix, but the chukim, the simple, right, the ones that naturally your sharp mind would reject, that's usually, of course, it's a dangerous concept, the chukim emes, but what we mean is the ones that our sophisticated yeshivish minds would reject, those are the ones, right, that are probably right. Now, let me choose some of the questions that he speaks about. He says, for instance, in one of his tshuvas, concerning a minhag, that somebody came into a city, listen to the minhagim that they had. I thought I wrote down the number. An amazing thing. Somebody became a rabbi in a city, and sometimes they had a difficult time finding a minyan. So in the city they told him, we have an old minhag that for us, he says, 8 people are enough for a minyan. Your amazing thing. 8 people are enough for a minyan. So 8 people. So, and more, he says, in this city, he even mentions in the name of the city, Kihile Kedoisho Yamnitz B'Medinas Meren Yeshmine Kovua, and they quote a big god, Reb David Oppenheim, Lispalel B'Shas Adchak Im Ches Anoshim, with 8 people. So he asks Reb David Zvi Hoffman, it's a minhag. I mean, I came into a city that they already had the minhag. What do I do? So he says, Lo yiroisi shum smak leminhag ze. Ubilti sofek hu minhag betoes. Nikva al yedei burim. For sure, originally it was set up by Amiratzim. Here, meaning, if you analyze and you say this was set up by Amiratzim. V'tolu atzmon bilam godol. Ah, you say that Reb David Oppenheim was a rov in that city, so he must have allowed it. Stam, they make it up. It's not true. It can't be true because there is no mokor. Vani eini maimin she'arav Reb David Oppenheim hiskim leminhag ze. And if you're gonna see, if people are gonna tell you we were there when Reb David Oppenheim was there and he didn't say anything, even so, it's no proof. Very often you are in a community and you just realize that if you are going to fight it, you are going to lose. So there are situations, and that's a very important subject in Rabbones, there are situations that's better to keep quiet and not to fight. There is such a concept. So therefore, even if you'll find that Reb David Oppenheim actually didn't say anything about it, Maybe it's because he decided that he would lose, so therefore he decided to overlook it. Because if he tells them that they are wrong, they're going to do it anyway, and they're going to be mizidim, they might as well not do it, not tell them at all. Yeah. What? What? Oh, what? Well, listen. Even so, what? There are severe halachic problems. So the point is like this. He's just saying like this. Rav Dovin Hoppenheim was a rov in the city, right? He didn't daven in front of the omed and say kedusha, for instance, and kaddish in front of seven people. If he would, then there is another thing. Amen v'yoraya min hamaisen. That's another subject in rabbinics. Can you say, I saw this godel doing such and such under these circumstances? Is that a psak? We have a rule that's never a psak, that you can bring a raya min hamaisen. If you didn't ask him specifically, is this the haloche, amen v'yoraya min hamaisen? We don't know exactly what was behind it. Right? That's what I mean. But he's saying more. He's saying that there is such a concept that sometimes you can't fight a minhag. You know that you are going to lose, and you know that it's minhag burim, the way he calls it. There's nothing you can do about it. I remember when I in Mexico, they had a minhag that, for instance, let's say someone was sitting shiva, right, within the first 7 days, and he had to say kaddish, right? He didn't dumb for them, and he had to say kaddish. So the minhag was that if there would be other people who had to say kaddish after Oleinu, for instance, they would say it first, and then the yosem, the one who's sitting shiva, would say it after everybody finished kaddish, in order that he should say it separately. Yeah, that's how it became. And it's, what's going on? I mean, what do you mean? I mean, it's a hefsek from the Oleinu. I mean, they have to say another capital Tehillim, say something that it should justify the Kaddish. You can't just say Kaddish. It's like Ke'en, it's not Mamesha Brocha Levatole, but Ke'en is within the union of Brocha Levatole. How can you do it? I mean, Doi Ritoris, but you're coming to tell us Chidushim? I mean, that's the way we have done it, right? And in Mexico, they had they had big Rabbonim, right? They had the people who were really poskim, really known poskim. So they didn't say anything about it, so I'm going to come and change that. There's no question about it that's minhag burim. There is no such a thing. You can't say kaddish with a hefsek after Oleinu. Obviously, the idea was that after Oleinu, probably the way it was set up in the beginning was that after Oleinu, only the one who is sitting shiva would say kaddish, right? Because the whole, you know, there is a whole problem. And again, that's one of the important subjects in the development of halacha. How did it develop the halacha that 10 people say kaddish together? There are 10 people who have to say kaddish. 10 people say kaddish. Where do we find such a thing that a shaliach, you're a shaliach tzibur, right? When you're saying kaddish, you are the shaliach tzibur, right? People are answering you, amen yesh merabu, you're shaliach tzibur. 10 shaluchai tzibur, where do you find such a thing? It's a development of halacha. It's an incredible thing. It's a development of halacha. The problem is that trei koile loy mishtamoy. You can't have 5 chazonim together. You have one at a time. Saying kaddish is being the shaliach tzibur. That's what somebody who's saying kaddish is the shaliach tzibur. You can't have 2 people saying kaddish. You can't have 10 people saying kaddish. There's no such a concept. There is one shaliach tzibur at a time. So what do we do if there are 3 people who have to say kaddish? Fine, that was an old problem. So they said, well, if so, let's add a kaddish after Oleinu. Why do you think that they added the kaddish after Oleinu? So the Yosem, the young Yosem who didn't daven for the Omed, for instance, has a possibility to say kaddish. Then they decided, yes, but sometimes there are more Yosoimim. So therefore, okay, so let's say the Shir Shel Yoim, and after the Shir Shel Yoim, he will say another Kaddish. You know, is that after, they should be, like, each one should say one Kaddish. I mean, that's the halacha, that's the original halacha. And then, what about In the shiva, so they would in the shiva house that we want the yosem we sit in shiva to say the special kaddish. So they added another chapter of Tehillim. All different ideas how to make sure that everybody has his kaddish. And if you're stuck without a kaddish, you're stuck without a kaddish. There is an order, right? There is an order. And if you look through in the Shulchan Aruch, there is an order. Who has a priority? Yortzeit, Shloishim. That's a whole priority. What happened that caused enormous machloikas? And you find in early tshuvas, especially the Sephardi tshuvas, that it caused in their communities enormous machloikas. You know that there is a, we may not respect the living, but the dead, it's tremendously. So, aloche yes, aloche not, but we have to respect them. So what do we do about it? So in the Sephardi communities, it started and it spread to the Ashkenazi communities. Say together, word by word, right, that everybody should answer at the same time, right? Then you don't have the problem of trei kol eloi mishtamoi, that there is no shaliach. Everybody says it together. B'diyeved is okay. B'diyeved is okay. Okay, that's how it developed, and it caught on. It caught on because it solved a tremendous problem of machloikes. There are still communities in Germany, for instance, and even I was in London, for instance. Yeah. The Goyim by Torah. Also, they have one at the time. Interesting. But I was in London in the German shul. There is a German shul in London, right? A gigantic shul. One kaddish at the time. One kaddish. That is the original halacha, of course. That's the original halacha.
What? They only have one person who says kaddish at all. The one person says kaddish for the whole sibul. So if someone is a yosem, he can't say kaddish.
You mean he'll be moitzi him?
Right, one person is
mostly
all of them. Whoever has to say
kind,
one person is
mostly
everyone.
I daven, though. It's not like that.
No?
They get turns. They take turns for every kaddish, and they have to add a, like you explained.
Oh,
they add to
it. That's the original halacha.
Isn't it true that someone who...
What?
So that someone who says kind, who says chance?
No, you see, there's a limit how much they'll say, and they go by the Gabi will make lots to figure out.
Oh, that is, yes, that it said. As a last resort, you use lots.
Get who davens and all this.
I had a friend who was saying Kaddish there. He told me he never had a chance to say.
Because
he
maybe wasn't or? Wearing a hat and they're makbid on there. So
it could be.
Yeah. Even makbid that they won't give an elite someone not wearing a tie.
So there is no question. So let me just tell you how we developed the meaning. So therefore... there was probably a rov that said, you know what, everybody says together, the yosem b'shas shiva, during shiva, that's one of the highest levels of chiyuv, right? In the priorities, a yosem within shiva is one of the highest levels of prayer. If everybody will say together, he won't be mekayim anything. So you know what? Let him say separately. In other words, let's say a chapter of Tehillim, and let the yosem say separately, so at least, right, if everybody says together, because you know what happened, right? What happened is that 20 people say, everybody says Kaddish together, nobody answers, nobody listens, it's really a wasted Kaddish, it's absolutely meaningless in most shul, it's absolutely meaningless.
They don't do it together,
there is no minion. Everyone has no minion listening to him. What kind of a shaliach tzibur is he? It's not the Warren Shabik Dusha, it's wasted. It's absolutely wasted. I mean, and that I know it's a sharp statement, but that's the way it is. It's absolutely wasted. If you take a look, you know that the big poisek before Reb Moshe in New York was Rav Henkin. And Rav Henkin says, glory, it's ke'ein brocho levatole, he says. Ke'ein, he doesn't call it that word. Ke'ein brocho levatole, better don't say Kaddish at all. That's what he says. But everybody, I mean, they don't even say it together. They chop the whole Kaddish, one says in this speed, and nothing. So when they realized that the Rabbonim, they said, at least during Shiva, right, say a chapter of Tehillim, and after that chapter, the Yosem should say it by himself, because he should say it separately, right? Of course, how do Minhogim develop? So the Amiratzim, who never understood what the Rov was talking about, said, fine, why do we have to say an extra break our teeth to say in a new chapter of Tehillim? Let everybody say Kaddish together. When everybody finishes, he'll say Kaddish. Without realizing that it's a wasted Kaddish, because it's not on something. It has to be a Kaddish on a chapter of Tehillim. Then it's a Kaddish. You understand what I mean? That's how it develops. So go fight it. Can you fight it? You can't fight it because that is the koyach of Amiratzes. A meratzes is a religion. That's the way it's done. What do you mean you're coming to break, to destroy my religion? You can't come to destroy my religion. That's what they said. That's what they said to this person also. So there is such a gather. There is a gather. You know what? I'm going to keep quiet. Why should I waste my koyach on this? Even if I'm going to win, I'm going to lose. Right? Because I'm going to cause machloikes and this, and people are going to say, who knows what? It's not fine. I mean, there are other issues, meaning... there is such a thing as a limit to what you can do, and that's a very, very delicate subject, and you have to use it right. If you're not going to use it right, then it can be wasted on small issues, like politicians. They use their power for, you know, this little thing or that little thing. And important issues, they don't have the power anymore because they used up their credit. There is such a thing by a rabbi. You have a certain degree of credit by the community. Use it when it's important. That is the concept of mutaf shiyu shoygin, instead of Reb David Oppenheim leaving the city because he saw that they davened with 8 people. He said, listen, there are more important matters. I have to weigh the situation. So that's it. And there is such a thing. There is such a concept of, what about if I can't get a job otherwise? It's also a concept. It's also a swore. You can't get a job. I remember. What? Hefset Merube, 100%. I once. Also, if you're a Mexican, he'll probably know the problem. In Mexico, there was an enormous problem with the. They used to shecht calves. Were you aware of this problem? Calves under 8 days. It's a resort to shecht an animal. Before it's eight days old. So it's not a chiyuv d'oraisa. The chiyuv d'oraisa is only in the mikdash. When you bring a korban, you have to wait till the 8th day. But the rabbonon assert even by chulin. So isur the rabbonon, a clear cut isur the rabbonon. It's not two ways about it. It says clearly you have to wait until yom mashmini isur the rabbonon. In Mexico, they shechted the calves when it was 3 days old, 4 days old. So it's interesting, the rabbi who was there in Mexico was Adom Godel. He wrote Reb Moshe Feinstein, and Reb Moshe Feinstein answered him, and the answer is printed in the Igros Moshe, right, for everybody to see. And he says there are no heterim, there is no way out, because apparently the rabbi who was there before me had found a svore. That what? Because it says in the halacha that if you check the teeth of the calf and it has well developed teeth, you can rely on it that it's more than 8 days old. Let's say you're not sure whether it is 8 days old or not, you can check the teeth, and there are other signs, right, if it can stand, how it stands. So he says, what about if we check the teeth? Says Reb Moshe Feinstein, that's okay if you really honestly don't know whether it's 8 days old or not. But if you don't know, checking the teeth is nothing. That's what. Halacha lemaise, he didn't listen to Reb Moshe. Didn't listen to Reb Moshe. And he had a right not to. I'm not saying that, I mean, that's a local problem, right? Like you can argue on a svore. My svore tells me that you could rely on the simonim for 8 days old. Oh, so there's the question is, Shavya Nafshech Haticha de Sure, many people say, is only on the individual for whom it's noigeya, not for a rov. Again, it's an important matter. You see, if you don't know whether this piece of meat is kosher or not, the moment you ask a rabbi, it's as if you say, you know, according to many poskim, Shavya Nafshech Haticha de Sure is mikoyach neder. Yeah, according to many poskim, because otherwise, why? I say it's treif, but the rov says it's kosher. Why should I not be able to eat it? So many poskim say that Mari Beirav says that it's neder. It's like an acceptance of a neder. Same way you can accept a neder. If you say it's kosher, it becomes a neder for you. So everybody else is allowed to eat it. You are not allowed to eat it. When you don't know whether something is kosher or not, and you ask a rabbi, it's as if a conditional neder, that if he says it's kosher, it becomes kosher to me. But this is only on the person that's. On him is the shale, whether he's allowed to eat it. A rov that's only trying to find out the svore, it's not as a neder for him. Therefore, he can hear the svore. He doesn't like the svore, he can pass him differently. But a rov is not shale. This, So he decided otherwise, and he had a right to do. Now, when I came into the scene over there, I had a problem, and I really went into the halochas, into the mekoiros, and that's, and there one in the dark age, Shuvah brings down one posek, who actually says that the halacha of 8 days is if you don't have simonim. There is such a posek. Everybody goes against him, and everybody says, no, if you know for sure that the animal is under 8 days old, you are not allowed to eat it. It's not a problem. What to do? So I said, I'm going to be in Eretz Yisrael, I'm going to ask Rabbi Eliashu. So I come to Rabbi Eliashu, and I had a list of all the shalas that came up through the year. And when it came to this one, I'll tell you other things also that he told me again. He's a tremendous approach to halacha, Rabbi Eliashu. I don't know if anyone of you had a chance to hear him in halacha. He's really, truly a poisek. So he says, no, obviously you're not allowed to. Right? Yeah. So at the time I said, and if that means that I have to leave my job, because, it's noigeya parnose. So if so, let me think about it. Come back tomorrow. Interesting. Even the approach. Oh, you mean noigeya your job? So of course, that's a different story. Oh, so I came back the next day. And I said, so did you? And he says, he says, I went through all the tzedodim, which means like I tried everything I could, and I can't find a way out. So he says, I can't find a way out. Anyway, I'm just telling you that he could. I'm just telling you the approach. The approach is, oh, you're going to lose your job? So it's not the same shayla anymore. That's what I mean. So once you have that approach and you come to Reb David Oppenheim, we don't know the situation in Germany at the time. Was it easy for a rabbi to get a job? So if he sees that 8 people are making up a minyan, fine. I mean, he has to choose, but, you know, I have to get a job too. Maybe this is not enough. Like Rabbi Eliashu says, maybe a job is also something to take in consideration. So I'm just telling you that that was also so he says like this. So where does it come from? So he says like this. Really, the only possible mokor, there is a mesechet sofrim. You know that there are small mesechet sofrim. It's not part of the regular shash of ours. It was printed within the shash, but it's definitely not part of the Talmud Bavli the way we have it. It's already from the period of the Geonim already. Certain things were added, according to the oral tradition. So in Meseches Sofrim, there is a place where it says that 7 people make a minyan. 7 people make a minyan. So it's a question, what does it mean? Does it mean 7 people? Or does it mean 7 out of 10? If, right? I mean, it's... Right, 7. Who knows what they mean? But there is such a statement that 7 people make a minyan. Oh, so they decided it probably that's the only mocker. But if so, why not 7? If you are Talmid Chochem, you're right. So why not 7? So 8 for sure is an amoret. So therefore, you can't really. that's the approach. Okay, we'll continue with that.